Welcome back to Illinois Edition. I'm Education Desk reporter Dusty Rhodes. We just talked to State Senator Jason Berrickman, who wants to convert the state's school funding formula into something he calls the evidence-based model. But he says it will take some time, and for now, we should just add more money to the current funding formula. In fact, Berrickman has filed a bill that would do just that, and he's been making personal appearances with Governor Bruce Rauner seeking support for this legislation. But Senator Andy Menar, a Democrat from Bunker Hill, has a plan ready to go right now. It would send more funds to districts with low property values or high concentrations of poverty. To pay for that, the state aid to wealthy districts would gradually decrease, and thus the plan has been criticized for creating winners and losers. It has twice passed the Senate, but it hasn't been heard in the House. I started by asking Andy Menar to explain those special perks for Chicago public schools, items that Berrickman highlighted on a printout of Menar's Senate Bill 231. Tell me how these are not special deals for Chicago.
These things don't drive more money to Chicago. They just do not. Republicans and the governor can keep saying it. It's not going to make it true. We didn't propose any changes to the early childhood block grant, for example, in Senate Bill 231, because the EFAC, Education Funding Advisory Committee, recommended that the early childhood block grant program, for example, not have any changes to it. And Senator Berrickman's name is on that report. So this is just continuing what the EFAC committee recommended. This doesn't drive an additional penny to Chicago. And that's a fact. And he can say it over and over again. The governor can run around downstate and, you know, talk about, you know, special deals and poison pills and all these things, but it just doesn't make it true. You know, there's 104 school districts in Senate Bill 231 that gain more money per pupil than Chicago. They're 105th on the list. There's no carve-outs for Chicago. You know, that's the oldest play in the playbook. You know, you stand up in downstate Illinois and you point a finger at Chicago and say they're to blame for the reasons that we have all these problems. That doesn't get us to a solution.
Why is the House not moving your bill?
I don't know why they're not moving the bill. Here's my guess. There's always reasons not to do this. It's too politically challenging. We have an election around the corner. We don't have enough money. I don't want to take a tough vote. We can just spend more money in the current system, and that's going to fix it by default. There's always a reason why we can't make a change that's both this sizable and this important at the same time. You know, my guess is it's probably all of the above in the House. It's probably political. It's probably recognized as being difficult, which it is. But, you know, I try to politely articulate that, you know, sooner or later, something's going to have to change. You know, if school districts go into default, which under the current system, we will have more go into default. We have 2/3 deficit spending today. You know, if we have a system that only educates certain kids to be successful and leaves countless others behind, that's going to catch up to us in our budget as well. I would argue that's part of our budget challenge in Illinois, is that we don't have a system of public education that is either funded properly or equitably, which results in all kinds of costs in the state budget, from Medicaid to the Department of Corrections to DHS programs, you name it. Those are cost drivers in the state budget. Sooner or later, there's going to have to be an understanding that the system itself has to change. It cannot auto-correct. We saw that in the governor's budget proposal back in February. You know, he stood up in front of the microphone in the House of Representatives and congratulated himself for presenting a budget that fully funds the foundation level. That sounds wonderful. And then the days started to tick away and we started to peel back layers of what did that mean? And at the core of it, all that it meant was the governor was throwing gas on a fire. He was throwing gas on a fire that's been burning in the state for decades, and he's putting himself into a corner just like his predecessors by saying, if we spend more money, we will fix the system. That set us on the wrong path, in my opinion.
The crisis that you're talking about has been the inequitable funding situation, but now it's just funding, period.
The crisis I'm referring to has everything to do with the worst system of funding in the country. Governor Rauner has taken a complete pass on the conversation. He doesn't want to pull his chair up to the table and have that tough discussion to date. But embedded in that conversation is exactly what's being played out now. The wealthiest districts in the state that have the lowest tax rates, that spend the highest amounts per pupil, that have the lowest rates of poverty, generally what happens in Springfield isn't going to affect them as much as other districts that have high rates of poverty, that can't generate resources on their own locally through property taxes, that rely heavily on state aid. Those are the districts that are going to take it on the chin first.
You've been pushing a piece of legislation in various forms for at least 3 years, and it focuses on addressing that inequity by adding, is it 8 different weights to a basic amount? Talk about those weights and what that does.
A weight is simply a priority. So a weight is essentially equating priority to spending. For example, districts with high rates of poverty, we have to prioritize our money there because we know that if you have 2 children, one that lives in poverty, one that doesn't, you can get the same outcome in grade 12. It just takes a little more money for the child that lives in poverty. That fixes all kinds of problems in our state budget eventually.
If you've accomplished nothing else, you've at least raised the awareness of the lopsidedness of the current funding formula, but perhaps to the point that nobody wants to vote for anything that just does that. Because when you run money through that formula, it comes out kind of in an embarrassing way.
This isn't just me. You know, this is members of both the House and the Senate across the state have accurately defined the faults of the current system. Whereas before, a vote for the status quo was seen as, well, that's the best we can do. And I think we've flipped that on its head. A vote for the status quo is a bad vote because it's wasting money. And I think we've successfully indicted the system that will hopefully now turn into progress on changing it.